we're talking about Chasam Sofer today on Hanukkah. We're going to try to do our best at understanding it. Let me begin by noting the challenge, trying to, I guess, point out what we're going to try to note today a little bit, and that's the following. Chasam Sofer, as I said in the past, was prolific. He wrote on lots of different things, and he wrote in very different ways. So the Chasam Sofer was a posek, and he has tshuvas, and his tshuvas are going to be the tshuvas of poskim. He has chidushim on shas, and that's going to be like any other achron in shas, or not any, but it's going to be the Chasam Sofer on shas. He has drushos, he has perish on chumash. So the Chasam Sofer on Hanukkah, it's a little bit challenging because he wrote a lot about Hanukkah. He learned Mesechah Shabbos, so he has chidushim on the Gemaras about Hanukkah. He has piskei halacha that relate to what you do on Hanukkah. He has drushos about the essence of Hanukkah and insights and vorts, which he happens to perceive as being uniquely relevant to Hanukkah. What I want to try to do with a bit of an introduction is to point out the following, and we'll be noting, I guess, I wanted to try to pull from a little bit, I guess you would say, from all over in the writings of the Chasam Sofer on Hanukkah, but to try to do so by noting something which I think is very powerful, and by noting something which I think can even be a little bit beautiful. And that's like this. We often relate to Hanukkah as having been a one-time experience in our history. That what happened in Hanukkah was, beforehand, we weren't talking about it. Hanukkah comes about. There's a threat that comes by way of Yavan. And Baruch Hashem, we're able to be victorious. We're able to be successful. And the celebration of Hanukkah, which takes place, so that's primarily a celebration of what once was, and it sort of it is what it is in a certain sense. Many point out, the Ramchal, I believe, in Derech Hashem and others, that it's not really the way, and it's true in general in lots of Makoros, it's not really the way that Yomim Tovim per se work. That the way Yomim Tovim works is that every year on Pesach, we aren't just remembering Pesach, but there's a certain like spiritual capacity. A certain koach that we had on Pesach to break out of Mitzrayim, which for us in our own personal Mitzrayim, Pesach's a time to sort of break out a little bit. Pesach's a time when we can sort of like progress and move and build and be able to experience our own kind of a geula. There are remnants of the power of Pesach that continue to be there. That Yomim Tovim are not limited to particular times, but Yomim Tovim are maybe most powerful at the moment that they occur, but there's still a certain remnant, there's still a certain koach which continues to exist. It's relevant in multiple generations. I think what you find, maybe for many in Hanukkah, but certainly in the Torah of the Chasam Sofer, is something fascinating. There's a story that develops over multiple generations. That maybe the idea of Hanukkah, maybe anticipating what was going to be, was something that began already in the parshios that we're talking about, parshios Vayetze, Vayishach, Vayeshev, that maybe a lot of what's going on is a certain kind of Torah which already is sort of anticipating what's going to happen. And maybe, even after Hanukkah, that specifically in regards to Hanukkah, there's a more powerful celebration and potentially more powerful fallout generations later than we may have anticipated being the case. There are things that are going on here. That it wasn't just a one-time issue, but the way that we celebrate in subsequent generations is going to be intriguing for the Chasam Sofer, and the way that we anticipated Hanukkah in previous generations is also going to be a little bit intriguing. So we're going to do so by sharing some famous insights of the Chasam Sofer. We're going to do so by sharing some less famous insights. Usually we try to, I guess, broaden things beyond just the Chasam Sofer, but today for Hanukkah, at least for now, we're going to focus primarily on Chasam Sofer. Let's begin like this. There's a kasha that many of the achronim are bothered by. It's a very, very simple one. Most of the moedim have a mesechta and shas associated with that particular yontif. So if it's Purim time, you have mesechas Megillah. If it is Pesach, we have Pesachim, Sukkot, we have Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yuma. We're pretty much covered. Shavuos really doesn't, once you learn that Mesecha Shavuos is not actually about the yontif of Shavuos. If you make that step in your learning, so then, you know. But Shavuos has... There really isn't even like that much to talk about the same way when it comes to Shavuos, and maybe its absence also requires a bit of an explanation. But Hanukkah is largely missing from Mishnayos. It's largely missing from Mishnayos. That's odd a little bit,
Because there is a little bit of what to talk about, and they even just have a Mishnah that says, like, Yer Chayev to be Madlik Neros, that would be great. So we learned about Kama last year. So we know that Ner Chanukah is found in Mishnayos, they're like Derech Agav. If you're carrying stuff and Rosh Harabim and your animals there, and there are candles outside and it burns, you Chayev and Zika, not Chayev, Ner Chanukah, is that a factor or not? But it's not really Mishnayos. We don't have that much explicit about Chanukah itself. That was a question which bothered many. The Chasam Sofer has two explanations, to my knowledge, in his writings. One is what he writes in Gidden and Dafayin Chesem and Aleph, is his Perish and Shas. The other, we'll see, is quoted, I believe, by his grandson in a biography called Chura Meshulash, the latter one much more famous than the first. The first is Chasam Sofer is based on a comment of the Rambam in Perish HaMishnah to Pesachos Menachos, where the Rambam understands that in general, Mishnayos don't include things that were very, very well known. The goal of the Mishnah wasn't to repeat something which everybody knew. That the Mishnah was going to be telling something, presumably it was there on some level for a Chiddush. That's why, as an example, you find sometimes in the Gemara, about the comment of Mishnah, and say, Pshita, my Kamash Malan. The assumption being that when Mishnah teaches things, it's teaching us something that maybe I wouldn't have known the same way. There's some sort of a Chiddush taking place. Rambam writes that in the fourth paragraph of Masechet Menachos. Says Chasam Sofer, so why is Chanukah missing from Mishnayos? Not because of any critical reason about anything specific, but rather because we knew the basic details of how to light Hanukkah candles. We knew to light Hanukkah candles. So the Mishnah is never to tell us, by the way, you should be lighting Hanukkah candles. By the way, you should be lighting Hanukkah candles. But the Chasam Sofer in the biography that they quote about the Chasam Sofer writes the biography about him, Kibbe Eger, so they write there, they quote a vort from the Chasam Sofer. This vort is a very intriguing idea. An intriguing idea. It's not a vort that you find like in the Chidushim on Shas the same way, but it's one that they say was Margala Bepume. It was one that they say he used to quote a lot. And the background is a very famous comment of the Ramban in his Perish Al HaTorah. The Ramban tells us that when Parsh Vayichi, that when Yaakov comes along and Yaakov tells the brothers, he gives them their bracha, so he says to Yehuda, Lo Yasser Shevet Mi Yehuda, that Yehuda is going to be the leader. Yehuda's going to be in charge. He's going to be in charge of, he's going to be the Melech. Okay. The Ramban therefore wonders if Yehuda is supposed to be the Melech, so you don't have to know too much about Nach to be aware of the fact that, you know, Shaul was not from Shevet Yehuda. So the Ramban wonders about the impact of this idea that the leaders of Klal Yisrael have to come from Shevet Yehuda. Says Ramban of Inyan Shal Haya Kibavor Shadavar Shaelos Hamalchus Beisahin. That's a Beis Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Ratzel Hamlech Aleim and Hashemesh Shalom Malchus Yoshem Menu LaOlamim. Ratzel Malchus Shas. Shal was more of a temporary king. It wasn't permanent the same way. We weren't yet ready for something, you know, real, etc. But says the Ramban as follows: Ulefi Daati Hayu Hamalachim Hamolchem Al Yisrael Mishara Shvatim Achrei David Over Maldas Aviyim Ma'avir Nachla. Says the Ramban: Anyone that once David was appointed as a king that came off and they ended up being malachim, so they were violating this particular issue. The Chashmonaim says the Ramban, they may have violated this Isser also. And he says the Chashmonaim got punished. The Chashmonaim were Kohanim. And after they took over, after they were victorious in battle, they made themselves into kings. He says, Ki hayu chaside elyon. They were incredibly holy. Without the Chashmonaim fighting, Torah would have been forgotten. But still, the Chashmonaim got a terrible, terrible punishment. If you look in the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us, "Komanda Amar mi beis Chashmonai kasina avdehu shenichsa kulam ba'avon hazeh." That the Chashmonaim were all wiped out; they were all killed. If someone would even say that they come from the Chashmonaim, we would assume that they were actually in Eved. Because all the Chashmonaim themselves really got wiped out. That they took over from David HaMelech, they took over from Shev Yehuda, and they were in charge. The Ramban says maybe they violated an extra Isser because they were Kohanim. And maybe Kohanim are really not supposed to be functioning as kings. Not all Rishonim necessarily buy that this is Pshat. Salvatik tried to be Medayik, it's in source number 5 on the sheet from the Ram HaBos Chanukah, that maybe that's not true, and that maybe in fact that wasn't an Isser for the Chashmonaim to take it over. But that's the Ramban al Torah. Comes along the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says like this: Margla Bepume, there was a well-known comment, but the Chasam used to always say, Hines Chanukah Nisker Klal B'Mishnah. This Chanukah is not mentioned at all in the Mishnah. Parentheses, it is. What he means there is that it's not mentioned like in a clear, straightforward way. It's more parenthetical here or there. V'amar tamo, who's putting Mishnayos together? The Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, putting Mishnayos together, Miseder HaMishnah, Tzadar HaMishnah, Hayam Mizera David HaMelech. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi comes from the scene of David HaMelech, Beneis Chanaka Nasa Aydei Chashmonayim, Shetofsu HaMelucha, Lo Hayam Mizera David. And the Chashmonayim were those that were, they took over from David HaMelech, Zerul Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And says the Chasam Sofer, that's why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Abi Ruach Kodesh, left out references to the Chashmonaim from the Mishnayos, because he came from Shevet Yehuda. He's the descendant of David HaMelech. He comes from, they should have been in charge. And there was a certain like remaining almost like bitterness in subsequent Doros after the Nes of Chanukah for the fact that Chashmonaim took over. So one element you see here is that the Nes of Chanukah in subsequent Doros, there was a degree of fallout that we were still witnessing, like familial fallout. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, putting together the Mishnayos, Api Ruach Kodesh, says Chasam Sofer. We spoke last time how he believed that there is Ruach Kodesh in these things, that there was he was hesitant to include the Mishnayos, because we're not, when we looked at what happened afterwards and with like long-term vision, so we saw Chashmonaim made a big mistake. They were, as Ramban says, Chasidei Elyon, but they were also wiped out. The long term, there was almost like a dimming of an element of the celebration as a result of that particular choice. The Chasam Sofer, though, goes in the opposite direction in a different, very famous tshuva or tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer. Very famous tshuvas. Let me give a little bit of background. We know that whenever we're learning, so one of the questions that we often have is it something a din d'oraisa or something a din d'rabbanan? Most of the time, it's pretty clear, often it's pretty clear if something's d'oraisa, something's d'rabbanan, is the mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of tzitzis, the mitzvah of lulav. These are dine d'oraisa. There are also mitzvahs d'rabbanans, mitzvah d'rabbanans. Some d'rabbanans are like within the d'oraisa, like this is tzitzis d'oraisa, this is tzitzis, maybe only d'rabbanan. Like some Rishonim think, the Gemara, maybe the Shulchan Aruch, the Katan tzitzis are on a d'rabbanan level for some. We Ashkenazim hold like the Ramah, but that's the way that many, you know, there are d'rabbanans and there are d'oraisas. If we asked you the status of Chanukah and Purim, so Chanukah and Purim, l'chora, b'li, shum safek, are d'rabbanan. Why do we assume that they're d'rabbanan? Why don't we assume that they're actually d'oraisa? The answer is not that fancy, because it took place after the time the Torah was given. It can't be d'oraisa, because d'oraisa has to be in chumash. D'oraisa has to have a mucker. There's no gzeiros hakasav I'm aware of about Chanukah and chumash. There's no svar I'm aware of the Chanukah. It didn't happen yet. It's a celebration of an event which took place later. It couldn't be d'oraisa. It's a d'rabbanan kind of a day. That's the mainstream shita, which you'll find in lots of Rishonim. That's the mainstream shita, which you'll find. And for that reason, as an example, the Tashbetz, I believe, writes, what's the status of halal on Chanukah? Halal on Chanukah is only a din d'rabbanan. But maybe halal sometimes is d'oraisa. I know, but Chanukah is d'rabbanan. So, of course, halal is d'rabbanan. What is Neiros Chanukah? Neiros Chanukah is d'rabbanan. That's what it is. That's what it is. Says Chasam Sofer, and here's an amazing chiddush, which others have in a slightly different way, but he has in a couple of tshuvas. Says Chasam Sofer, I don't think that's true. Think Chanukah, think Purim also, are d'oraisa holidays. How is it possible it's a d'oraisa holiday? It took place later. So Chasam Sofer points out a Gemara Megillah on Daf Yadalev and Aleph. Says the Gemara Megillah there, Tan Rabbanan arba v'shmonim neviim, v'shiva neviyos nisnav v'lehem liyisrael. Neviim, normally you can't add on to Torah at all. Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah was like an add-on. It's one of the questions why adding on Purim or Chanukah wasn't a violation of Baal Tosef. They were adding it on a little bit. My daughters, how did they know that this was true, that you're allowed to add on Chanukah? How did they know that you were allowed to add on to Purim? Like, where does this come from? So Amr B'chiyah Bar Avin, Amr B'Yeshuv and Karcha, this is a very famous Gemara and a very famous Chasam Sofer. It says the Gemara, Umami Avdus L'Cheiris Amru Shira. Haray says the Gemara that when Klal Yisrael was saved from Mitzrayim, so we were going to be destroyed. We went to Yam Suf and we left Yam Suf. We had Kriyas Yam Suf and we sang Shira Sayam. That's Az Yashar, which we say every morning in Parshas B'Shalach. If we said Shira out of a savior, out of being saved from being slaves to free, so Mimisa L'Chaim Lo Kol Shekein. Of course, we should sing Shira, having been in a threat of death, to now being able to be saved. So says the Gemara, it looks like that's the mucker for establishing Purim. That's the mucker for establishing Purim. Says the Gemara, Ihachi Halal Nami Nema. So why don't we say Halal on Purim also? We should be saying Halal on Purim. It's just like we said Shira on the Yom for being saved. We say Halal on Purim for being saved. So Gemara gives different explanations for why we don't say Halal on Purim. Halal was, Purim took place in Chutz La'aretz. We don't say Halal for things that took place in Chutz La'aretz. We read the Megillah, and the Megillah was a, and the Megillah takes the place of Halal. Kriyasa Zoe Hilula, said the Gemara. Or, in Purim, we were still Akasiyah, the Achashverosh under. We were still servants of Achashverosh, whatever it is. That's the Gemara about establishing Purim. We learn it from a Kal V'chomer, from a Kol Shekin. Says Chasam Sofer as follows, in Tshuvas, it's here in Yerideas and Reish Lamegimel. Ukvar Herachti Yoshe Midai. Ulasayim B'nechama Omer. Mashakasav Le'el De'kviyas Yomoe B'yomas Yasneis. Hu Kal V'chomer Do'raisa. It seems like there's a Kal V'chomer Do'raisa. It's a real Kal V'chomer. That we learn that Klal Yisrael sang and Klal Yisrael rejoiced when they were saved. So Kal V'chomer, if you're ever saved from potential death, you should be also rejoicing Do'raisa. Ufiyani Yasdaiti Tzach Chasam Sofer. Yom Purim V'mechanika Do'raisa Heim. They are Dine Do'raisa. They are Dine Do'raisa. Ach, says Chasam Sofer, because just like we were saved on Chanukah and Purim, and even though there's no reference, Chanukah is not found in Chumash, the idea, the underlying principle, the yisod, that when you experience redemption, when you're saved, even from servitude to freedom, you have to rejoice. So too Chanukah and Purim are Dine Do'raisa. Says the Chasam Sofer, the only distinction is, what do you have to do? How do you demonstrate that? That's what he calls in his Kedushim and Shabbos there in Chaf Gimel, Masro L'Chachamim. That could shift in each thing. So it could be that if it's like a question of, as an example, if it's lighting Chanukah candles, so that was the Rabbanan chose that that's the way in which you do it. That you're going to read the Megillah, that's how the Rabbanan chose that you're going to do it. But the idea is one which is going to be Do'raisa, one which is going to be Do'raisa. Says in its Siv, in Hamek She'ela, says in its Siv, in its commentary, in the She'iltos, in Parshas Vayishlach, but that's not really so true, because the Kal V'chomer only really exists in the generation that experienced that Simcha. So, who was singing at Yom Suf? The ones who celebrated, who left Mitzrayim, they sang. Says in a tziv, I understand that the generation which experienced it may have a do'raisa requirement to demonstrate, to rejoice in a particular way. But that's not a riot of subsequent generations. But the Chasam Sofer apparently learned differently. The Chasam Sofer maintained that we learn from here that just as in that very same generation, there's a requirement and a joy which takes place, so too in all subsequent generations, so too in future generations, that same do'raisa requirement is there. L'chora, at least one potential reason for Chasam Sofer, we never stop rejoicing even in future generations. We continue to appreciate the miracle which took place. We continue on a do'raisa level to have the chiyuv incumbent upon us to rejoice, to demonstrate our simcha, and to do it in whatever way we're going to do it. But you find, I guess I would say, like the first half of what we're talking about today, before we sort of build in a different direction. For the Chasam Sofer, Purim was not a one-time sort of like event that we just stomp commemorate, but there's fallout afterwards. One piece is like a negative fallout, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, what is he going to do with the Mishnayos? The second is a more positive element of Chanukah, that what you see as Dirabbanan is not really Dirabbanan. The Rabbanan chose how we do it. But for all subsequent generations going forward, we are charged to continue to rejoice. We are charged to continue to celebrate. And that's what Chanukah in many ways really is. Derech Agav, as some could probably anticipate. This Chasam Sofer becomes really important when you talk about the celebration of newer holidays when they come up. There's a mitzvah. You have to rejoice in a certain way. So if you are Zionistic leaning, this Chasam Sofer is really important for Yom HaAtzmaut. We were saved from potential. Now we have something else there. If you're Chabad leanings, I imagine you take it really seriously. So today's your day. Yah Kislev, you're going to be talking and reflecting a little bit upon upon this custom sofer. You know, it's a chiv d'oraisa on some level. I don't know if people really say that, but I imagine that someone does. Like, why not? And it's a big discussion in general, when and when not, and what's going on. Not all new things. Custom sofer had real opposition to Lag BaOmer. Maybe we'll speak about a different time. Or not to Lag BaOmer. He agreed with the calendar. But I'm saying, as far as like elements of what happened, I think he had certain hesitations about it. But that's that. The Chasam Sofer does something else. Not only does he speak about the impact long-term on Mishnayos, the impact long-term on the status halachically of the celebration, but now we move to the world of Drush. And in the world of Drush, the Chasam Sofer was uniquely capable, and in a beautiful way, and we'll quote additional Makoros to develop the idea, to be able to see within the stories of Sefer Bereishis and the stories of Chumash in anticipation of Chanukah, and maybe even one step further, as we'll be able to see. Let me begin by noting the following. There are those who point out something interesting, that maybe we have a hint to Chanukah already in one place in Chumash. It could be in the Rokeach. I don't remember the exact Mar Makom. But in Parshas Emor, in Perek Chav Gimel, we have a list of all the Moedim. We have a list of all the Moedim in Vayikra Chav Gimel, all the Moedim which are Doraisa. What is the first halacha quoted after we finish all of the Moedim? What's Perek Chav Dal of Parshas Emor? Tzav ben Yisrael, v'yikulech Hashem en Zayis Zach, v'halos ner tamid. That the first halacha, the first thing we have in Chumash, right after the Moedim, is a reference to taking Shemen and lighting candles. And some suggest, it's not explicit, but we find a remez already a little bit to the world of Chanukah. Rabbi Yerucham Olshin, in his Sefer Yerach LeMoadim and Chanukah, has a beautiful collection of Makoros. It's on page Shin Ches. It's Maimer Hay there, about Yaakov Avinu. And we'll quote them, and it's an amazing thing. Then we'll learn a Chasam Sofer. Number one, it says in Pirkei D'Blazer, in the Medrash Rab and Bereishis, that we know Yaakov Avinu was, what did he do? He was Yitzchak Shemen Al Ha'Even, Asher Shami Rashosav. He when he was lying down before he left Eretz Yisrael, and he had a rock underneath, and he put oil on that rock. The Medrash says, how is there oil there on Har Hori? Like, what's that oil? Like, what? How is it there? So the Medrash says, I is a Shemen Sheyarei Min Hashamayim Benes. It was a miraculous kind of oil that appeared there that he was able to use. In the Sefer Yam HaTalmud, in Baba Kama Nakdam, they quote from the Sefer Berakah Shmuel, quoting the Sefer Sifsei Kohen, that pach that he found, that Yaakov miraculously found there at the Makom HaMikdash, was the same pach HaShemen that the Chashmonaim were able to find years later. It's the same physical location. It's the Makom HaMikdash, the same miraculous oil that happened to appear, which Yaakov happened to have there. So that was the same miraculous oil. Again, it's an ideal derech drush that they were able to find, able to discover it. It was old. It took a while to find it, but then they found that special kind of a pach. Moreover, the Marshal points out, this is already, you could probably anticipate this. Yaakov Avinu in this week's parsha, we're dealing with parshas Vayishlach. So Yaakov Avinu goes, and Yaakov Avinu is going to bring his whole family over, and he realizes, the Gemara tells in Chulin Daf Tari Aleph, that Yaakov Avinu forgot something. What did Yaakov Avinu forget? He forgot the pachim ketanim, the small jugs that he forgot. The way the Marshal says it out, the pachim ketanim, that what the Ribono Shel Olam said at that moment was, the same way that you, Yaakov, were machshiv, small jugs and small pachim ketanim, I will pay back that favor. You care about my material items. You care about your things. You're going to go back and you're going to be moser nefesh for pachim ketanim. So I'm going to also make sure that your children always have pachim ketanim. I'm going to make sure that your children are able to find, on some level, a pachim ketanim. Comes along Chasam Sofer and says as follows. We're going to learn a Chasam Sofer together. It's a Chasam Sofer, source number 12 on the sheet, Tars Moshe and Bereishis. And we'll try to do a decent job with it. Chasam Sofer understands, you know, if we're talking about a fight between people, you're talking about Klal Yisrael, Yavan taking on Bnei Yisrael. So Yaakov also fights, and he fights surrounding Pachim Ketanim. He fights surrounding the parallels on some level are clear. says Chasam Sofer as follows. This is very different than the Torah that you're used to if you see, learn Chasam Sofer in Shas or Chasam Sofer in Tshuvas, but it's a particular kind of Torah which I think is very beautiful and very powerful. Says Chasam Sofer as follows. We'll see how much we're able to say all of it. But he says, you know, he says, V'lam ha'zeh tetzel l'shmi v'yivari chos v'sham. He says he fights with Sarah Shal Esav. Yaakov fights with Sarah Shal Esav. He says, Sarah Shal Esav, can you please, can I get a bit of a bracha? But B'chai says the bracha he got was Birchas Kohanim. V'yishlomer. Alpi mash'amr chazal v'yivaso Yaakov levado. So the Kaddish nishar al pachim ketanim. He left pachim ketanim there. He left pachim ketanim there. V'yeshar lomer. So far, there's something so much deeper going on. This is Torah in the realm of drush and remes. It's Torah not in the realm of Pshat. It's Torah in the realm of Drush and Remes. That's where the Chasam Sofer is living now. He says, the Isib B'Rokeach B'Hilchos Purim. The Rokeach says, Sheyakov Hayaroa Achshav Kol HaAsidos Sheyavu Abanav. That at that moment where there was fighting between Yaakov and Sarah Shal Esav, Yaakov didn't just see Sarah Shal Esav. He was able to perceive that that fight taking place was like a paradigmatic kind of a fight. That there'd be lots of milchamas taking place between the world of Esav and the world of Bnei Yisrael. He knew that that was happening. At that moment, as a Rokeach, Yaakov was able to intuit. He saw all that was going to happen to his children. V'remez al zeh, hatzileni na miyad, hatzileni na miyad, save me from, is Rosh Tevos Haman. The Yaakov, when he was davening to be saved from Esav, says the Rokeach, he wasn't just davening for himself. Again, a little while later, he wasn't just davening for himself. He was davening for his children, that they should also be saved when they fight. Hatzileni na miyad, osios hey nun mem, or hey mem nun. Haman, he was davening, can you please protect me? Can you protect me from Haman? V'tikin achshav akol ha'tzlachas bana. Many of us know the Ramban writes in his Perush al Torah many, many places, in St. Fabricius, of Maisa Avos Simen Labanim. The Ramban has a particular theory that things that the Avos did were going to impact what their children did. So Avraham went to Mitzrayim, that impacted the fact that we would have to go and be Avadim in Mitzrayim. The Avos did things, they laid the groundwork, which caused things to happen in subsequent generations. Yaakov, in fighting Sarah Shal Esav, says Chasam Sofer here, Tikin Achshav Hakol Hatzlachas Bana. When he's fighting Esav, he's not just trying to be that Sarah Shal Esav, just trying to win for himself, but that's a historical battle taking place. And if the Chasam Sofer is going to, if Yaakov is going to emerge victorious, so that means that in subsequent Doros, Yaakov's children are also going to remain victorious. Parentheses. The same way that while we may remain victorious, Yaakov emerged from that battle wounded. He wasn't unscathed by what happens. So in the story of the Jewish people, when we fight that version of Sarah Shal Esav, so Klal Yisrael can get scathed. We can be wounded sometimes. But we know that we're always going to eventually be able to emerge. We know we're going to be able. It's like what Yaakov Emden writes in his Siddur, that his biggest raya, I think, not his biggest raya, he writes one of the rayas to a belief in Rabbono Shalom and Klal Yisrael is the fact that we are still around. Makes absolutely no sense. People much more powerful than us have all been destroyed. We've never been powerful. We get beat up all the time, and we're still around. It's like an unbelievable thing. So we get wounded, but we always emerge on some level in a powerful place. The Gamba Ramban Isa. It's also in the Ramban, says Chasam Sofer. She ha'ma'ora kulo remes lidorosa. That this whole interaction of Yaakov and Esav, and Yaakov and Sarah Shal Esav, it's not a battle in the world of Drush and Remes and Sod. It's not a battle just between Yaakov and his brother. It's a battle about what's going to happen in subsequent Doros. It's a battle about legacies. That what was happening then already anticipated on some level what was going to be. Because there is Haman Nichla Begalus Madai. Be'afkach bin Madai le'edom haya Yavan. V'sham Zachu Yisrael le'nes Chanaka. V'zem merumez be'vasar Yaakov levado. Shezbonein ma'yish lo'odasakim because there is Yavan. That part of what Yaakov Avinu was doing and going back, and that battle over the Pachim Ketanim, so part of the Yaakov Esav Hasen Miyad was about fixing Purim. Part of it, Vayivasa Yaakov Levado, was when Yaakov was going to be alone. He saw going to Pachim Ketanim and fighting then, that was a remez, that was laying the groundwork to give Klal Yisrael the koach to one day beat the Chashmonaim. In that sense, what I was talking about here, the Chasam Sofer and the multi-generational Chanukah, isn't just a fallout with Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and how he looked at it, the need in subsequent generations to still celebrate Do'oraisa, unlike the Netzit, unlike others. But it started way earlier for the Chasam Sofer. It started way earlier for the Chasam Sofer. That's just a remez and chumash of Shemen Zayzach and the house near Tamid. Then not just a Hatat near Tamid, but it starts earlier in the battle of Yaakov and Esav. Because Chanukah and Purim in many ways are about the interactions which take place between two different scenes, between two different scenes and two different worlds, between two different scenes and two different worlds. Says Chasam Sofer, it's already a little bit too much for me. I don't really understand some of the Kabbalah here, so we're going to move on a little bit. But there's stuff that's cool, apparently, about 22 and Berachos Kohanim and things like that. But for the Chasam Sofer, in many ways, it starts earlier, and it starts with the Avos. It starts with Yaakov Avinu. And because it starts with Yaakov Avinu, so again, that gets the ball going in a certain sense. It gives us koach in many ways when there really maybe shouldn't even be koach. I'll share a vort for you, and we'll try to explain it. You know, we say, so it's in Drashas Chelek Aleph, Amud Reish 134, page 134 in Drashas Chasam Sofer. You know, sorry, it's 138. We daven in Al HaNisim, so when we celebrate the fact that we were victorious, we say, you know, we were victorious. It was Rabim Biad Ma'atim. It was a lot of people lost to a little bit of people. It was Temeim Biad Tehorim. Zaydim Biad Oske Sorasacha. Chasam Sofer, in a couple of places in his drashas, asks a very simple question. We're trying to praise and note the power of the Chanukah miracle. So we say, even though they were a lot and we were only a little, we were still able to be victorious. I get the chiddush there. They had higher numbers. The bigger numbers you have, the more that it's a chiddush that the smaller people win. But why is it a chiddush that the Tehorim beat the Temeim? Why is that a chiddush? Tehorim are worse fighters than Temeim? Like, what's the chiddush there? Why is that something worthy of praise? The Chasam Sofer says a very beautiful pshat. He says, it's like a cute, smart pshat. Tehorim means that we're Machban Hilchos Nida. So if we're Machban Hilchos Nida, it means that couples aren't intimate as often. So if couples aren't intimate as often, because there are times during the month when the husband and the wife can't be together, that means there's less time potentially to have children. So he says, Temeim Biat Tehorim is like a detail in why it was Rabim Biad Ma'atim. Why were there like less Jews? Why were we so small? Because we were Tehorim. Because we didn't have as many children, because we were Machban more Chasnida. Yeah, there are Jews who can take it. What's the Zaydim Biat Oske Sorasecha? What's v'zeidim biyad oske sorasecha? What exactly is that all about? They were zeidim, we're oske sorasecha. What are zeidim? Why does oske sorasecha make us like less capable to win in battle? So Chasam Sofer says as follows. He points out based on the pasuk in Mishlei in Perikov Aleph that a zeid is someone who is mischakim b'tach bulosav, someone that thinks intelligently about strategy. A strategic thinker. They were Zaydim. They were strategic thinkers. Okay. Klal Yisrael was also bright, no? Klal Yisrael was also intelligent. We certainly wouldn't insult ourselves in our tefillah. So they were really great strategic thinkers, and we weren't. Is that what's going on here? You know, is that the real pshat? You know, if you ever hear like Chief Rabbi Sacks talking about like Nobel Prize winners and the Jews and what we've contributed to society, like we're Zaydim also. No, we work in think tanks. We can also think about these things. Because that's Pshat. The Zaydim, they used all of their intellectual powers to think strategically about how to win in battle. But how to win in battle. We were Oske Sarasecha. We used all of our powers to figure out Pshat and Arashba. We used all of our intellectual capabilities to learn the sugyas of Rukhiya Kamaisa, of that. The Chiddush was, Chashmonaim won, even though they were like base medrash guys, and they were taking on an army, and the army invested everything they had in being two thinkers, and they were able to win. He says, part of what we're saying, Anachnu oski b'sarasech, mevam b'neinu v'sechlein l'asog v'yos amol b'torah, Vain Penile not Sayach. Like we don't have even the time to like think about like how we're gonna win in battle. And we still won in battle. It says Chasam Sofer, that even though they were strategic thinkers and they invested so much in their defense, we were Oski Sarasecha, and we were able to be victorious. Where was the source of that victory? Meaning, Alpiderech HaTeva, we celebrate it. It doesn't make any sense. Alpiderech HaTeva, what are we doing? How are we a small group of people? Drop the maids home if that wasn't your style. It's we're Rabin Biad Ma'atim. We're taking them on. We're learners. We're Kohanim. It's the Kohanim that are fighting here. Where does that come from? Where is that Koach coming from? What's really going on? So at least one way of viewing it is in light of the Hatznachas that we saw. If you viewed the Melchama of Yavan and Bnei Yisrael in purely physical terms, it was just a battle of army and it was guerrilla warfare. There's no way that we were going to be able to win. It may be that we knew the terrain a little bit better, but we weren't trained fighters. Our army wasn't that big. We weren't strategic thinkers. We didn't know how to plan for battle the same way. We didn't know what's going on. But the Chasam Sofer understands the story of Hanukkah is not the story of just a Hanukkah miracle. A story that began much, much earlier, and it's a story which continues much, much later. It's a story that goes throughout the generations. It's a story of Yaakov fighting Esav. And when Yaakov was able to take on Esav, that laid the groundwork for subsequent generations to win also. It's part of that Maisa Avos Simon Labanim. That when Yaakov was Moser Nefesh, when Yaakov was Moser Nefesh for the Pachim Ketanim, for those little jugs, so Ribono Shel Olam said, we'll give you little jugs. That the same miraculous experience when Yaakov Avinu said, here I am, still is going to reverberate. The Hatzileni Na Miyad, Rosh Tevos, Haman, that was something powerful, which was still going to be able to be there. It was Yaakov that got this all started. Bishchus Yaakov, we have a Hanukkah. And we don't stop the celebration once it happened there. But the more that you understand, again, I'm trying to kind of cut this over right now, you can take it or leave it. The more you understand that what happened Hanukkah time was the battle between Sarushal Esav and Yaakov. It was a battle that was going to continue. We maybe understand a bit more why, even Bizman Hazel, Derech Drush, we're still dealing with a Doraisa celebration. Because it wasn't just that generation. The battle continues. It continues in different ways. There are different ways that we interact with the world of Esav. Different ways that we interact. As we quoted yesterday from Sfas Emes, that sometimes Esav, it's an attack and it's a full battle. And sometimes it's a kiss of too much closeness. But that battle of Hanukkah is a very, very real battle. It's one that existed. It has existed. And Be'ezra Hashem, eventually it'll get resolved. But it's one that we continue to have. If you understand all of this, we'll just end with one last idea, if that's okay. We can maybe appreciate a little bit more why the Ramban writes, beginning of Parsha Balozcha, the Chassidim quotes the Ramban all the time, why Aaron HaKohen isn't offered, he's not included in the end of Parshas Naso, when all the Nasiim bring all of their Karbanos. So Aaron HaKohen is not included in the Nasiim. And Chazal explained that Aaron HaKohen feels bad, that he's not able to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash, he's not bringing the Karbanos like the Nasiim did. So Ramban quotes the Medrash that Aaron HaKohen was told, don't worry, you get to light Neiros Hanukkah. Wonders the Ramban, why is that so comforting for Aaron HaKohen? I understand when you inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash for the first time, the Mishkan, so that's an amazing schus. But Aaron HaKohen gets comforted by Neiros Hanukkah. Why is he comforted by Neiros Hanukkah? What's going on? So the Ramban writes, because Aaron HaKohen knew that the Hadlaka of Neiros Hanukkah, it wasn't a one-time event of inaugurating. Though that light, sorry, of the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash that he was able to do was going to one day become Neiros Hanukkah. It was going to one day become the Hadlaka that his subsequent doors were going to have. And Aaron HaKohen said, for that I can be comforted. I can be comforted to know that I'm part of I'm the beginning and part of a long story, the way I would at least, darshan it. That Aaron HaKohen said that the story of Hanukkah, the story of subsequent generations, and the story of struggle of Klal Yisrael, but ultimately the victory of Klal Yisrael. And Aaron said, okay, I'm not part of this Nasiim, I'm not being mocker of that, but Aaron HaKohen is going to be able to go. That, Derech Agav, I will say the pshat, is one of the reasons why Chasam Sofer says, why does Rabbeinu Bechai say that Sarur Shel Esav gives to Yaakov, when Yaakov asks for a bracha, what is the bracha that Sarur Shel Esav gives Yaakov Avinu? Birchas Kohanim. Because it's through the Schus of Kohanim, that Kohanim, it's the Kohanim of the Chashmonaim, it's the Kohanim of Aaron,
The Kohanim are the ones that were there to fight for us when we needed this. They were the models of the ultimate Tehorim, of the Mila Shem Eli. And in many ways, Chasam Sofer, it was a battle which took place, But it's a battle that came in many ways led by the Kohanim. But it's a battle which goes on throughout the Doros. So hopefully, Be'ezra Hashem, we can be Zocha to appreciate, to connect to the legacy, we would say, of Yaakov Avinu, and the multi-generational element of the Simcha of Chanukah in a way which can be, I think, powerful.